you too. I will go from verse 1 to verse 23. So initially, verse 1, we're talking of the visit of the wise men. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophet, "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, this morning you can see from the bulletin that it's kind of a twofold message. First of all, you see wise men seek him still. So I say, if we came here this morning to worship God, and if we had a Bible study this week and we worshiped God, or we spent time with God, in our homes worshiping Him, or we went to a Christian conference and worshiped God, or we listened to WDCX or Christian tapes and messages, then indeed we fall into the bracket of wise men, women, and children seek Him still. Isn't that great? And the other side of this particular coin is, okay, we're worshiping Him. It's the year 2018. What are we going to bring? What are we going to bring to our Lord Jesus Christ this year? It can't be kind of stale and still be the status quo of, well, I'll try to be good and see what the Lord will do. We've really got to open up our hearts. You'll see as we go through just these 23 verses about the three kings, what happens when we're selfish and what happens when we humble ourselves before the Lord and allow Him to change us. Sorry, but life is all about change. I heard someone a few weeks ago, they're not here today, so I can say this. And I heard the person say very loudly something to the effect of, this is the way I am, I'm not going to change now. And I thought, oh, no. Don't be saying those things. We do need to change. Now, it says, in the time of King Herod, and what I brought this morning was a little bit of commentary information about King Herod, because you've got to appreciate, if you really want to get into the Word, you've got to appreciate what is going on in the community at large. And where are the people at? What are they thinking? What are they doing? And so here we have a little bit of information about Herod, King Herod. Herod the Great, they called him. Herod is remembered as a builder of cities and the lavish rebuilder of the Temple of Jerusalem. But he also destroyed people. There's the selfishness. He showed little greatness in either his personal actions or his character. He was ruthless in ruling his territory. His suspicions and jealousy led to the murder of several of his children and the death of his wife. Herod's title, King of the Jews, was granted by Rome, but never accepted by the Jewish people. He was not part of the Davidic family line, David's line, and he was only partly Jewish. Although Israel benefited from Herod's lavish efforts to repair the temple in Jerusalem, he won little admiration because he also rebuilt various pagan temples. Herod's costly attempt to gain the loyalty of the people failed because it was superficial. Watch this. His only loyalty was to himself. I hear the door. Because his royal title was not genuine, Herod was constantly worried about losing his position. His actions, when hearing from the Magi about their search for the new king, are consistent with all that we know about Herod. He planned to locate and to kill the child before he could become a threat. The murder of innocent children that followed is a tragic lesson in what can happen when actions are motivated by selfishness. Herod's suspicions did not spare even his own family. His life was self-destructive. Very important to hear that and understand that, because especially he's in leadership and things are falling apart. Why? Because he's only thinking of himself, his glory, his popularity, his life. And that's what we have to stop doing, always thinking about ourselves. What do you think about when you get up in the morning, first thing? If I'm breathing. Well, we usually think about ourselves. Isn't that the truth? Okay. Try to get up in the morning in this year, 2018, and think, you know what, God? Forget me. What do you want from me today to do for you and for others around me and see what happens. Now, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at the rising and have come to pay him homage." They have come to worship him, to honor him. Now, anybody here ever ride a camel? Oh, you have. Okay, tell me, what's it like? Awful, terrible,
bumpy.
Rough, bumpy. Okay, then you've made my point. Thank you very much. Because apparently the three wise men went for thousands of miles on these camels. Okay? And by the way, just a little aside, it isn't well known, or it isn't for sure that there were three wise men. It's not in the Bible that there were three. The only thing that's in there is that there were three gifts. And they were?
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
There you go. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So, they rode thousands of miles. When we travel, we want first class tickets. We want the best accommodations. Why, we might even want a limo. We want it all just perfect, the best destination. Well, look what these fellas did. They were determined to find the Messiah, the King of the Jews. And if you study it long enough, you'll find out too that it could have taken them up to 2 years and more to find Jesus. When you travel thousands of miles on a camel, I can't imagine how long that would take. So there you go. So when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Now, this is a paraphrasing from Micah. And here you start seeing, once again, I'm always saying this, prophecy in the Old Testament is being fulfilled in the New. Very important. That's affirmation, that's confirmation that this is the truth. And I like it where it says, "For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people." That's a very humbling word, to be a shepherd. And it makes us think of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything." Very humbling. What shall we children bring? Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." Well, we all know he was lying. What will we bring as his children? Humility or selfishness? When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. They made it. They were obedient. They were loving. They persevered. These are all the things that we need to bring in this brand new year to our Lord. Do you need a drink? Because I've got one. Okay. Verse 11 is very, very important as well. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage, which is part of the reason why we think that it has taken a long time for the wise men to get there, because it says, on entering the house. It doesn't say on entering the stable. Okay? It also says they saw the child. It doesn't say that they saw the baby. So these little intricate things help us understand a clearer picture of what is going on. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of
frankincense and myrrh.
Now the gold represents kingship. Okay? Frankincense is what they used in worship. So that represents the worship of Jesus. And the myrrh was a lovely smelling fragrance that they used on bodies after they passed away. Now, this is a foreshadowing of the sorrow and the death of Christ. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. And again, it took faith, obedience, trust, all of these wonderful things that we need to have first and foremost going on in our lives. Not getting up in the morning and saying, oh, I don't like what happened yesterday. I feel bad about that. I shouldn't have said this. Or I'm glad I said that. I didn't like that person anyway. That stuff's got to go. We've got to be so pure in heart, because it's the pure in heart that will hear God's voice, that will know that God has told them something in a dream. It's amazing. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. And that's where we split the reading today, because now it's the escape to Egypt. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Here's another dream. And said, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Now, that is amazing. How many of us in the middle of the night would even get it that it's God speaking to us in a dream, and get out of bed and do it? Get out of bed, get dressed, and go. And move. Take your family wherever he sends them. I thought this morning, if you were going to Toronto tomorrow, let's say, and you were going to visit a family member, and God said to you, yes, I want you to go, but I want you to go by bus. See? I want you to go by bus, and I want you to prepare your heart for what I have for you. Most of us would think, I'm going by car. It's more comfortable. I can listen to my own music. I can park where I want. I can do what I want to do. Hear that? Do what I want to do. I. But there's somebody possibly on that bus that needs to sit with you, that may need to hear about your faith, because they're going through something so tragic that we can't even imagine. Remember those things. Don't be so quick to dismiss what God might be telling us. Then Joseph got up, took the child again and his mother by night, and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. And from what I've read, that could be up to 2, maybe more than 2 years. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. And this is now Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, who has made that prophecy. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. See, this is not unlike today. There's crazy stuff going on out there. And we've got to do something about that. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. And she was the wife, Rachel was the wife of Jacob, one of the great man of God in the Old Testament once again. So you see, that Old Testament keeps coming forward for us to learn from. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called what?
A Nazarene.
A Nazarene. Isn't this exciting how we've moved through the Christmas season into Epiphany now, and we're seeing the historical background much clearer than maybe we have before? What shall we as God's children bring to him? We heard that in the hymn that we sang, one of the hymns that we sang, when the children left, or as they left. The wise may bring their learning, the rich may bring their wealth, and some may bring their greatness, and some bring strength and health. We too would bring our treasures to offer to the king. We have no wealth or learning. What shall we children bring? We're God's children if we don't humble ourselves as his children. We'll never really hear all he has to share with us. And it goes on to say, we'll bring him hearts that love him. We'll bring him thankful praise. And young souls meekly striving to walk in what? Holy ways. What's a holy way? That's something we need to study as a church at large. Holiness. We've forgotten what that is. And these shall be the treasures we offer to the king, and these are gifts that even a little child may bring. We'll bring the little duties we have to do each day. That means when you're washing the dishes. I'd say washing the car, but don't try that right now. I did, and it's useless. I thought I could get that stuff off my car, and it, forget it. I drove out of there, and maybe 3 or 4 blocks later, it was all covered again. But we still bring our little duties before God and have the right attitude about these little duties. It sounds simplistic, and I know that. But you see, we've made the world so complex. And that's why you're seeing so many people depressed, oppressed, down and under, committing suicide, doing these things because they're lost. And Jesus makes it very simple for us if we would just do what he says. Look at Mary and Joseph's life. It was hard, but they were truly obedient from moment to moment to moment. And because of them, we have a Savior. We'll bring the little duties we have to do each day. We'll try our best to please him at home, at school, at play. And better are these treasures to offer to our king than richest gifts without them. Yet these a child may bring. We see the life of Mary and Joseph. We see the life of Herod. We see the life of the wise men. Take a close look at all their characteristics. Get to know them. Get to understand. And it will be amazing what we will take into this brand new year for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of the service will be a continuum, actually, of the sermon, because these wonderful hymns that we will sing, in particular the last hymn today, very detailed on what we can bring as children before our God. Let's bow our heads in prayer.